Amen. Somebody say word. Word.
Word.
Word. All right, let's stand and we'll read the word. Who knows that one crumb is enough? Who knows that you don't need the whole loaf when it comes to the things of God? And when it comes to the Lord, one crumb is enough. Let's turn to Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, even when the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, which is strong, which is potent, which speaks to us even after thousands of years, dear God. I thank you that this is truth. This is life. This is the word that we live by. It is food unto us. I thank you, dear God, that you will feed us today. Feed us that we may be full and running over. God, we don't want the bread that perish, but we want the bread that leads to eternal life. That, dear God, it will be unto us a river of living water flowing out of our bellies. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may have your seat. You know, I've been feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit in this entire service from the morning. And you know, we just flew in from Guyana. We landed here around 5:30, left the airport around 6:30. Amen. But here we are here. And can I tell you that Jesus is also here? Jesus is here. And you know, sometimes you think that tired vessels cannot feel God, but who knows, when God is the building, any and every vessel must feel him in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I believe that this word is for us today, that one crumb is enough. Today we honor mothers. It's a day that's taken, you know, it's a universal holiday all across the world. It is not an American holiday. It's not a Caribbean holiday. It's not specific to any one country. It's all over the world. Mothers are being celebrated today. But today, we, the church, we don't just honor our mothers for the meals they cook or for the clothes they folded. No. We honor them for the spiritual war room that they have created and built in quiet spaces. Too many times we're thankful for the food, we're thankful for the water, we're thankful for the kind words. But who knows that the spiritual moms, hallelujah, have built war rooms to establish their children. Our children are where they're at, not because we have just done well naturally, but it's because we have gotten into our prayer closets and created war rooms. Some of us don't have physical closets, but we get into the bathrooms and we war and we war and we war. If it had not what we have been today. Pastor Sam can testify that he would have never survived lest it has been for the prayers of his godly mother. So today, we celebrate you. We celebrate women all across the world that prayed, that stayed, that fight, that when the going get tough and the tough get going, you stand your ground without any physical weapon, but you hold on to the altar of God and you said, God, unless you come, I'm not moving. Bless God for the godly mothers who will pray. For the godly mothers who will stand in the gap. Hallelujah. For the mothers that will not give up when year after year after year the situation does not change. And who knows that these mamas are not just mamas that gave birth, hallelujah, but mamas that take up other children, that mama whose hearts are burdened with what is going on, teachers who pray for their children. My God, you who go into your job and your workplace and you pray and you pray and you pray, you intercede as if you had birth pains. These are the mothers we celebrate today. You see, this woman here, she was from Canaan. She was not an Israelite. And here she came to Jesus because she had a desperate situation. Her daughter was not just disobedient. Far beyond that, her daughter was demon-possessed. My God, she was under spiritual torment. But this woman heard of a Jesus. She heard of what he is capable of. She read, maybe they had papers that they published that come see a man. Maybe word went around. Desperate to find some type of solution for her daughter, what she did, she went to Jesus. And she said, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon possessed. A lot of times when we're facing heartaches, when we're facing the storms of life, when we cannot turn to the left nor to the right, who do we turn to? When your children are doing all manner of things that are contrary to the values of your household, what do you do? What do you do? When your jobs, when you're faced with being fired and let go, when they're cutting the budget of the company, what do you do? Who do you turn to? Do you gossip with the employees? What do you do? This woman went to the Lord. She brought her burden to Jesus. And while it seems like we're all doing that, can I tell you we're not all doing that? It seems like a very easy answer that when life hits you, run to Jesus. But who knows that it's a lot harder than that? Can I get an amen from some honest people in here? Can I get an amen from some honest women in here? It's not very easy that when it's a little shaky, it's okay. But when it's hitting you to your core, when your knees begin to shake, when your head starts hurting, and you're getting all manner of pains from all over the place, what do you do? Do you complain? Do you curl up? Do you lay in bed? Do you gossip? Do you call your friend for advice? What do you do? This woman ran to Jesus. You see that song, In the Mighty Name of Jesus? It's a prophetic declaration. Yeah. it's a prayer. It's not a simple song that you're just singing. In the mighty name of Jesus, everything will be broken. When the enemy comes to my house, he must see the blood of Jesus and go running, because in the mighty name of Jesus, I have some weapons that you do not know about. The U.S. Army cannot comprehend this weapon. But it's easy to be in here and accept that, isn't it? Easy. But when you're actually hit, Now, this woman, she went to Jesus. The Bible says to come boldly. Boldly into the throne room of grace. You see, we're yet to understand what it means to come boldly. We're yet to understand what it means to walk boldly into the throne room of God. It's as if you have direct access to say, God, I'm taking this up with you. You see what's going on here. Help me. Boldness. Not with head down. You understand your position. You know where your help comes from. And you know that if you come to the throne room, you're getting the help you need. How many of us go to the throne room every time? How many of us wait until the last string, then go? 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares about what's going on with your life. Listen, no one wants to give you a hope and a future more than God. Amen. Not even you yourself. Not even you yourself. No one wants your children to succeed. Not even you more than God. We have to run to him. This woman ran to Jesus. But it wasn't what she had expected. It wasn't what she expected. Instead of getting an outstretched arm, instead of getting a warm embrace, instead of getting words of life, she received silence. Silence. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Sometimes the hardest part of prayer is when it feels like God is silent. You have fasted, you have prayed, you have cried out, you have gone on your knees, you have gone on your face, you have stripped yourself and said, God, I'm not touching anything good, I'm not eating anything good, because I need your intervention. And you're rocking and rocking and rocking and rocking, but not a word from heaven, not a word from heaven. Not a word. Years you have been faced with the issue of blood. 12 years you've been bleeding out. 12 years they've been taking your money. 12 years they've been saying all manner of things about you. And God is silent. The God of the universe, the earth and the fullness belongs to him. Yet I'm still bankrupt. I'm facing bankruptcy. I'm going out of my mind. The one who said that he'll keep my mind in perfect peace. But my God, it's turmoil. Can we relate to this woman? Come to Jesus. You came boldly into the throne room, but no answer from the king. Imagine this. This woman comes into the presence of Jesus where everyone gets an answer. And he spoke not a word. But you see, this woman had wisdom. She understood that silence is not denial. Joseph was in the prison for 13 long years. And God was silent. It seemed like God was doing nothing. But who knows that in order to get such a huge blessing, God had to cook up a plan. And it had to be a good plan. You see, when you're cooking a good soup, you got to let it simmer. You can't put the pot all the way up to boil, because then you're going to get a watery soup, a soup without taste, a bland soup. And even if you put seasoning in that thing, it still tastes like the seasoning is on the top and there's water on the bottom. Who knows? Are there any chefs in here? But in order to get a nice soup, you got to let it simmer. You got to let the ingredients melt into each other. Marinate. The seasoning needs to marinate. Well, in order for you to get a good dish afterwards. And it's the same thing with God. He doesn't just want to knock up a meal and give it to you without any taste. He wants you to enjoy a good meal. So sometimes that takes time. Sometime. This is not a microwave meal. You know, we say that we're in a microwave society with a crockpot God. Right? The Lord likes to simmer things. And there are times that in the simmering, in the silent, is growth. And God is drawing faith out of you. Job, in Job 23, and it says, I'll just paraphrase, it says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I go forward, but he is not there. Yet he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When you're faced with silence, know that it's not denial. Know that God is working something behind the scenes. And know that God is doing something in your life and growing your faith. Amen. When she came, the disciples said, "Send her away. Send her away." So not only did she face that silence, now the people are saying, "Send her away. She is bothersome." She was rejected. Then she came and worshiped, saying, "Lord, help me." She didn't stop when they said go. She didn't return when they say stop. How many times you've been praying and somebody's saying, "That thing don't work. Try something else. Try something else." We need to be careful of people who are trying to divert us from Christ. Who are telling us that this is not going to work. Who are telling us that this is not for you. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? Yes. They tell him, "Shut up, shut up, don't bother the master." But then he cried out even louder. He cried, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. He couldn't see whether the Son of David, Jesus, is left or right or in front of him or behind him. All he could do, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples were like, shut up, shut up, shut up. But he said, no, Son of David, today is my day of encounter. Son of David. We have to push and press and push and press and push and press and push and press until we meet the master. This Christian walk is not a top thing. You know, it's always like glitz and glamour. That's how Christianity has become this day. Glitz and glamour. Surface beauty. We don't know that when you go down deep, there's a little bit of mud work there. There's a little dirty work there. There's a little waiting there. There's a little being frustrated there. There's a little of being annoyed there. There's a little bit of feeling rejected there. There's a whole lot there. The stories of these women, it's not all perfume and ponies. It was some hard days. It took the Lord talking to Sister Abigail 5 times before she understood. 5 times. And I'm sure it wasn't consecutive. Some time in between each time. So there was some waiting. There was some hard learning in those 5 times. But no, we want it easy. Easy. You know, the Church of God has become so complacent all around the world. And it saddens my heart to see how we have gotten to be soft jellyfish Christians. Can I tell you, church, we have reduced Christ to coming here on a Sunday and halfway worship. We have reduced the power of God to play, play, play. We have reduced the power of God to words. Oh, my God. I do not want to think about the day of reckoning. Pastor Ab? We have reduced the church all over the world. Yes. It's not an American thing. I've traveled to Jamaica. I've traveled to Guyana. And it's so wishy-washy anyhow. Prayer is not in the church anymore. True fiery worship is not there anymore. We just want to come, look stush, get a blessing, and go home, and we've done church. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, that's why we're not hearing from God anymore? You know, as children, your moms give you dollhouse, or maybe you weren't fortunate enough, but you give your children dollhouse and they play. We're playing dollhouse with the Church of God. We're playing dollhouse. You see, this woman, she couldn't afford to be offended. But us in the church, we can afford it because we have our bread well buttered. But for her, it was life and death. It didn't matter if the God of the universe was silent. It didn't matter if the disciples were pushing her away. No, she was determined that I'm after the heart of God. And until I reach his heart, I'm not stopping. So many times we quote Moses, unless you go before us, we're not going to go. This time we're 10 miles up ahead of him. My observations, forgive me if you think I'm wrong, but I'm not. I'm not. There's a lot of things we need to fix. And one of them is prayer. 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 How many times we're offended by God when we don't hear him? That we stop praying. You know, I was offended by God a few months ago, but I never stopped praying. Because I know the truth and my feelings don't dictate the truth. My bodies were ridden in pain. For months, I had pain without relief. I was going mad, maddening pain. I felt like God rejected me, like God turned his back on me. But my feelings didn't stop me from praying and seeking his face. The woman worshiped through the pain. After they say, send her away, after Jesus didn't speak a word to her, she worshiped. She worshiped him. Nevertheless, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But nevertheless, where are the nevertheless Christians? Where are the nevertheless moms? We have some in here. I know we have some in here because I've seen it. I've seen it. But we got to continue with that vigor and that passion. We cannot afford to slow down. The last generation has passed the baton. What are we doing? Are we running like there's a race to finish? Or are we slowing down, getting fat, not training? This woman worshiped. She understood that God is her refuge and her strength, a very present in the time of, her very present help in the time of trouble. But after she worshiped, after she continued and not getting offended, guess what happened? The atmosphere shifted. The atmosphere shifted. Suddenly the winds were blowing in her favor. The winds that were blowing contrary were suddenly in her favor. Jesus turned and said, well, first, you know what he said, that I can't give you this bread. This is for the children. This was for the house of Israel. She didn't get discouraged. She knows that her worship will shift it. She knows that her relentlessness will shift it. And then suddenly, faith flips the script. Faith flips the script. Jesus went from silence, from telling her that this bread is for the children, and her response is that even the crumbs the dogs get. Jesus said, whew. Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. When you come to Jesus and you come to God in prayer, it's not always going to be immediate. It's not always going to be that you pray today and today you get it. You have to keep going. And when there is dead silence, that all you're hearing is that your prayer bouncing back to you. Lord, heal my son. Boom, healing is coming. But what? Why am I hearing myself again? When it's bouncing back, you keep pushing. You keep pushing, knowing that the sound of your voice creates a powerful wave. wavelength that will penetrate even the thickest of ceilings today. But you got to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and be strategic. You know when you're trying to hit, anyone ever went to the carnival and you have the water gun? You got to hit it on the target. And the more you hit it, the more it's going up. The more you hit the target. So you got to be targeted and you keep hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. And then suddenly, the answer comes. Suddenly. The thing that you are praying for has come to pass. And then you'll sing, see what the Lord has done. The thing we have been waiting for has come to pass. That's our God today. That's your God today. We need to stop playing church. There's an urgency for prayer. The church is built on the word, prayer, fasting, the spirit, and fellowship. These are essentials, non-negotiable. Your life is built on prayer, fasting, the word, fellowship. It's the same thing, but we have neglected prayer. There's this. In one of the Growing Strong book or the Deepening Your book, we learned about that too many people talk about prayer, study prayer, share about prayer, but do not pray. We talk of its importance, we share about how important it is, but we don't pray. We don't pray. Prayerlessness has consumed us. The devil has done a number on God's children. You see, you're not committing sin like that anymore, but you're not praying. And because you're not praying, the devil has been taking captivities, have been holding people in addiction, have been destroying cities and nations, amen, that's rewiring our children, that now they're in identity crisis, that they're a man stuck in a woman's body or a woman stuck in a man's body, and they do all manner of mutilation because of the lies of the enemy, because we didn't take captivity captive. There's an urgency for prayer today. There's an urgency. There's a call for prayer. Can I tell you, we would worship, but we can't pray. We will worship, but we can't pray. We will sing, but we can't pray. We'll clap our hands, but we can't pray. We'll even read the word, but we can't pray. There's life and death in this thing here. And the enemy knows it, so the enemy silences us. We pray in our heads. We mutter ritualistic prayers. It's happening. But there's an urgency today. An urgency, a call to the mamas who prayed. To the mamas who know Jesus. To the mamas who understand the power of prayer. Don't just think about it, talk about it, do it. Don't just think about it and talk about it, do it. There is an increase in violence in the schools. There's an increase in deception in the schools. Depression, anxiety, suicide has taken over this generation and even the previous generation. Do you know that the highest rate of suicide is middle age? Middle age people. We think it's the young ones. Middle age people. And it's rising among people over the age of 60. We don't know the truth and we're not praying. We're not praying. Families are under spiritual attacks. You see your neighbors, what's going on. When you hear the cuss and the fight, what do you do? Do you call up someone or do you pray? Yeah. Here they go again. We call up our friends. We come to church. We call up our friends and we gossip about who, where, what, who look a certain way, who said something a certain way. And we giggle about it, not knowing that God is in your presence. None of us can fool God. Fool me all you want. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not responsible. I'm responsible for doing what I should be doing. And I'll do that. But you, take it up with God. Take it up with God. Take it up with God. Now more than ever. You see, the thing with mothers when they... Is there a mother here who hasn't prayed for something and it didn't come to pass? No. Anyone, any mom who can honestly examine themselves, maybe some things took longer than others, but there hasn't been a thing that you have prayed for that has not come to pass. Why? Because we have the potential to birth things. We have the potential to incubate things. The unseen things suddenly are birthed through us. We have power and authority and natural strength that we can push in prayer. We can push. We have a strength. How is it that most of the intercessors of the world are women? We can push. We have belly. God has placed a womb in us. And I'm not talking about a natural womb. This is a spiritual womb whereby things are birthed in our hearts. And then we, with our prayers and our spiritual womb, grow it and incubate it and feed it and then birth it into life with our prayers. Amen. Mothers, we need to pray. Not just wish things are different, not just hope things are different, not rely on any school system, on any government, any ruling party. No, we need to pray. We need to cry out in faith like this Canaanite woman and refuse to let go until something shifts. Don't let go until it shifts. We let go sometimes prematurely. But not anymore. Not anymore. That deception that the enemy brings, that we're too tired, that we cannot pray. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. One of the least attended services, it's always prayer. We love prophetic services. We love special services. But we don't love to pray. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me and on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. The Lord is seeking for someone who will stand in the gap between heaven and earth. Which mama is going to take up that call to say, Lord, like Isaiah, here I am, send me. I will pray and I will pray. I will pray and seek your face. Heaven shall come on the earth. Your will be done. Because I will pray. I don't care who pray or who does not. I will pray. I will pray. I will be the God man. I will stand in that gap. that our land will not be destroyed, that our children will not be destroyed, amen, that our families are not destroyed, that men will come into their right minds and marry women and remain. It's a spirit that works against men. They're good wife, beautiful wife, leave them. And a lot of times you see they leave them for somebody. It's like, what? Really? What? And here I am worrying, feeling insecure, and then I saw. It's because the enemy has taken a foothold. But we have to pray. We can't look at the shortcomings of people and blame them and then quote the scripture, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Brethren and friends, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you pray. I'm seeing some things that baffles me and that shakes me to my core. Babies are dying of curable diseases, reckless decisions. That's the enemy.
Yes.
That's the enemy. We have to stand in the gap. God is still looking for intercessors. God is still looking for mothers and grandmothers and women of faith who will stand in the gap and pray life over death, truth over lies, and revival over rebellion. We need to rise up and be one of those who will pray. Let us not, you know, it's not a very exciting message, I know. But God has been speaking to me to my core these days. It's a different level whereby I'm hearing God in my belly. I went to Guyana. We were there and I said, Lord, what am I going to say? But then I heard God in my belly. And then while Pastor Sam was on the ground, Pastor Sam heard God, spoke the same thing unto God, unto Sam, and then spoke the same thing unto the pastor. And I believe it's because God wants to speak to his children. Not because I'm special. Not because I'm special in my own head. But I'm not special. God wants to do something upon the earth. But he needs a vessel. And he's calling out. And he's calling out. So I'm hearing him so clearly this morning. I'm hearing God in my spirit. I'm hearing that he's saying prayer, prayer, prayer. I'm like, God, prayer for the church? How am I going to bring a Mother's Day message on prayer? He said, my church is not praying. My church is not praying. We're playing. We're playing. Faith Church has been a church of prayer, but we're going to increase that. Who knows that God takes us from glory to glory? There is too much work to be done. And if it's only five people, I know there's more than five. But if there's only five people, you best believe we're going with that five. Moms, you have longevity on your side. You have endurance on your side. Think about the hardships of you raising your children, them all by yourself. When that man abandoned you and called you no good, said all manner of things about you, you still press on. You have chutzpah. We need chutzpah in this time. People that will pray, people that will seek his face, the only way the kingdom comes on the earth when the saints pray. Nothing else. Nothing else. Jesus, will we commit ourselves to prayer?
Yes.
Not just talking about it.
No.
Not just singing about it. Not just study it. How you think God uses ignorant people and bring them to the forefront? It's because they just obey the word. They didn't decide to be no scholar. They just wanted to see God's will done. And if God said pray, they prayed. If God said go, they go. We don't need nothing special, brethren. We don't need nothing special. We just need to pray.